Good morning and welcome. If you have your Bible handy, I would call you to open to Psalm 119 and verse 68. As we continue in this new series, The Father and His Only Son, sermons about the attributes of God and the person of Jesus Christ. In this one, we're going to look at the goodness of God. In 2002, at Hannibal LaGrange College, Denise Banderman walked into the classroom to take the final exam. Everybody in the room was doing some last-minute cramming. The professor arrived and did a few minutes of course review. Most of it was familiar, but there were some things that no one remembered ever hearing. The professor responded with what sends cold chills up every student's spine. This is in your textbook, and you're responsible for the content on this exam. Then he gave the word to begin the test. Every student turned over their test. In Denise's own words, "I couldn't believe it. To my astonishment, every answer on the test was filled in. My name was even written on the test in red ink." A wordless stir traveled like a wave over the class as each student looked at their completed exam. On the bottom of the last page of every test was this note from the professor: "All the answers on your test are correct. You will receive an A on this exam, this final exam. The reason you passed the test is because the creator of the test took it for you. All the work you did in preparation for this test did not help you get an A." In Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 and 19, it reads, "And he," referring to Moses, "said, 'Please show me your glory.' And then he," referring to God, "said, 'I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you.'" Moses boldly asked God to let him see his glory, to allow him to see him for who he really is. How did God respond? He showed Moses his goodness. What is God's goodness? We sing about it, we speak about it, but how well do we understand this attribute of God? The Bible defines God's goodness in two ways. One has to do with his character. The other focuses on his actions. Psalm 119, verse 68, the verse I called you to turn to in your Bible, expresses both. "You are good and do good." God, by his very nature, is good. He is good in and of himself. For us, goodness is an added quality. But for God, goodness is a part of his very being. This is what Jesus meant in Mark chapter 10, verse 18, when he said, "No one is good but one, that is God." We can all, and we do, call all things good. All kinds of things, we call them good. This steak is good. He's a good friend. That was a good movie. But everything that we call good on earth is imperfect. How do you see the true character of a person? Well, by his actions. So how does God reveal his goodness to us? Well, let me give you three channels that God uses to show his goodness to us. First, God reveals his goodness through blessings. Psalm 145. This is the most basic way he expresses his goodness, and the one we tend to overlook or take for granted. David saw it clearly, and he wrote about it in Psalm 145. In verses 3 and 4, he proclaimed, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts." And then, in verses 7 through 9, David described what the older generation will say to the younger. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. And notice in verse 9, the Lord is good to all. Who are the all in that passage? Well, it's you, it's I. And then in verses 15 down to verse 17, we see more about God's goodness. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. You can look in every corner of this world and every part of your day, and you will find the overflow of God's goodness if you're willing to look for it. Second, God reveals his goodness through intervention. If you turn over to Psalm 107, this Psalm 107, is totally focused on God's goodness. Verse 1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Then the writer described, after saying those words, the writer described four scenarios where God steps in to reveal his goodness. First, God comes to the rescue of people who desperately search for something or someone to satisfy their soul. Verse 4, down to verse 9. "They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right hand, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place." Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Second, God intervenes in the lives of those who rebel against him, rebel against his word, and then suffer as a result of their rebellion. Verse 11, "Because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and of the shadow of death, and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And then third, God even intervenes on behalf of foolish people whose sin begins to destroy their relationships and lives. Verse 17, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their souls abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And fourth, God rescues those beaten down by problems. Verse 23. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens, they go down to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro, they stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So He guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. No matter what situation you're facing, no, God is the person to take it to. There is no better source of deliverance or blessing, because He is good all the time. And all the time, He's good. Third, God reveals His goodness through Jesus. Colossians chapter 1 teaches us that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, and that it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell. Jesus is God's goodness in the flesh. He demonstrated God's blessing in three ways. First, He took the judgment for our sins on Himself. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 tells us, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. God's goodness was revealed in the substitution of His Son in our place on the cross. Unmerited goodness. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. In fact, we continue to do sinful things that prove that we didn't earn this salvation. Second, He included other gifts with the sacrifice. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? God has already shown His goodness in the biggest way possible. All the other little details to help you live a godly life are included in that gift. And third, He allowed promises of God to be fulfilled. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. That means that all the good and perfect gifts of God come to us through our relationship with Jesus Christ. And the goodness of God calls for a response. Let me give you three steps to change our lives and begin to fully experience the effects of God's goodness. First, we must repent of unbelief and ingratitude. Romans chapter 2 verse 4 says, "Do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" The problem is, we want the gifts, but not the giver. Greed for what He does while rejecting Him is the height of sin. So we must repent of unbelief and ingratitude. We also must rest in His goodness when adversity comes. Bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people. Sometimes God's good plan for us means going through trials and losses and heartache and death. But He's right there for you. Psalm 31 verses 19 and 20. "Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you, in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of men. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." Listen, God has great goodness stored up for you. We must repent of unbelief and ingratitude. We must rest in His goodness when adversity comes. And we must risk stepping out in faith. When you believe God is good all the time, it frees you to take increasing steps of faith. Jeremiah 29, in verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Believing that cuts you loose from fear of taking risks for Jesus Christ. Psalm 84 and verse 11 encourages a bold walk of faith. "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly." Listen, you will never miss out on the goodness, the good that God has planned for you in your walk with Jesus Christ if you step out in faith with Him. Would you pray with me? Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the testimony of Your servant David, of Moses, of Your demonstration of goodness, that You are good, You also do good. And You've done the greatest good for each one of us by sending Jesus Christ to the cross in our place, that we might receive the goodness of Your salvation, the goodness of Your forgiveness. Father, I just thank You. And Father, I just pray that everyone listening to or watching this message would be convicted, and out of that conviction would make a decision for Jesus Christ and to walk surrendered in obedience with Him. And Father, we just thank You and praise You for Your goodness. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And you have a great day.